Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The third pick goes to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
So not what you ultimately wanted, right? You wanted the first overall pick in the draft lottery. But considering you were number five going into the draft lottery and you jumped up two spots, it allowed you to be in that top four, top five for sure to get what are considered at least all-star caliber players there at 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And so the Cavaliers now will wait and see who goes 1 to Detroit, who goes 2 to the Rockets, and then make their pick at number 3. And to break this down, let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline right now. Always great to have this guy on whenever we're talking basketball. Senior writer at HoopsWire.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Amico Hoops. He is Sam Amico. And Sam, another ping pong ball in the hopper, benefited the Cavaliers in a small way, but it's still a benefit. How important was it for them to get inside that top four, considering what's available in this draft?
Well, it's probably very important. It's supposed to be a deep draft. You know, Kenny, there's a lot of guys to choose from. Most of them play guard or small forward that are in the top 10, except for Evan Mobley out of USC, who's supposed to be a top three or four pick. If not top two. So that's just something they're going to have to consider. If Mobley goes to the Rockets, we'll assume that the Pistons will take Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State. And then the Cavs are going to have to decide from there, you know, who do we take? Do we take another guard? Do we take another small forward? Do we trade the pick? I would imagine that all those things are on the table.
Does it make it easier for them, though, that they're three and not five, or they fell to six, seven, or eight, which was a possibility? In fact, all the way to number nine is what they could have fallen to, though. Does it make it easier for Kobe Altman that they're at number three to make a decision on either use it or trade it?
I would imagine that it does. They'll explore both opportunities. And you have your draft board if you're Kobe Altman, just as every GM does, and you have your guys listed out 1 through 60 probably, if not deeper than that, 1 through 100. And, you know, if you decide you can move the pick and get an all-star level young talent in return, then that's something you would certainly consider. We heard Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN before the lottery. He said Cleveland was among the teams that will aggressively pursue a trade of their pick if they are to move up. Well, that's what they did. So I don't know how aggressive they'll pursue that, but I'd imagine whoever's sitting there at number three on the draft board on draft night, you know, a month from now, is who they're gonna take. And I think that it does make the decision easier, because you're thinking, okay, before we were kind of looking at players like, say, Keon Johnson from Tennessee or Scotty Barnes from Florida State, which are nice players. But now you're looking at, you know, one of these premier guys, whether it's Mobley or Jalen Suggs. Everybody saw him at Gonzaga, how good he was. Jalen Green from the G League and Jonathan Kumonga from the G League. Those guys, you know, pretty much have the top five, six spots wrapped up. So I think that you're feeling more confident if you want to trade the pick. Say somebody really wants Suggs, well, then you're going to listen and talk to them and maybe get something good in return. So I think it does put them in a very good position in terms of having that kind of flexibility, whether they want to explore trades or just take somebody and fit them in.
Sam, I'm a little bit confused based on what Kobe Altman said after the season. We had a lot of different lineups because we had so many injuries. We need some veteran leadership. We don't know whether or not we've got it right. What if you're Kobe Altman, Or let's say you're not even Kobe Altman. You're yourself. What is the biggest need for this team?
I would say veteran leadership. If you want to be back in the lottery next year, then you're going to just go ahead and go with all young guys, okay? If you want, and I don't know that that's not what they want. You know, maybe they think we're still going to be a couple years away. If you want to be the Atlanta Hawks and accelerate your rebuild, well, then you've got to go out and get veterans. You can't do it with 21, 22, 23-year-olds and Kevin Love. That's just not going to work for you. You saw what the Hawks did, right? They went out and they got, you know, you don't have to get stars. They got Gallinari. They got Bogdanovich. They got Rondo and then traded him for Lou Williams. Capella, you could consider a veteran-type player. And they need more of those if they're going to accelerate what, you know, Woj said they would like to do and pick up steam on the rebuild. But you've got to be creative to do that, you know, and you may have to be willing to surrender one of your quote-unquote core four to do that. If you just bring in a rookie, say you end up drafting Jalen Suggs, and I think he'd be a fine pick, well, you're probably going to be right back in the lottery next season if that's the only move you make, and then fill around with the Damian Dotsons of the world. You're going to be playing the lottery next year, and if you're Kobe Altman, you're probably not going to be the guy running the lottery.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, he's got to think about that, and they've got to think about as a franchise, you know, do we want to wait till everybody's 82 years old to be playoff contenders again? So I don't think that's the plan. I think that they want to speed this up a little bit for all involved, including the fans. And in order to do that, you're going to have to go out and get some veterans, and you got to get creative in doing that.
Well, you know what the next question's got to be, because there's going to be so many moving parts in this offseason. And from what we saw in Philadelphia, and it seems as though this run with Ben Simmons is over. Would you take a shot at Ben Simmons if you're the Cavaliers?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you'd have to, again, you'd have to be smart about it. You could mortgage the farm on the guy, but he is 24 years old. He is a very good talent. Even offensively, he puts up points. He can't shoot, he still puts up points. He's probably the best perimeter defender in the league. He's just outstanding defensively. He can run the point. He can play forward. He's got 4 or 5 years left on his deal. I think if you can make the right trade and get him in here, you'd behoove yourself to do it, because guess what? You don't have any all-stars if you're the Cavs right now, do
right.
you?
Nope.
He's an all-star. You know, you don't know that you have future all-stars on the Cavs right now. And I think that, you know, look, there's the Rich Paul connection, too. Ben Simmons works out sometimes in Cleveland during the off-season, or has in the past at Garfield Heights High School. Rich Paul is his agent. Well, Rich Paul is also Darius Garland's agent, you know, and I think Rich Paul would prefer that Ben Simmons over Colin Sexton would be in Cleveland next to Garland, or, you know, that is, I'm not saying that he's running things, but you want to kind of keep, if you think Garland is the guy who you put the ball in the hands of and can change the course of your franchise or help to do it, well, then you go out and you get somebody who's a good fit next to him, and Simmons would improve your team. Even with all his struggles, you know, and we hear all this stuff on Twitter about, oh, he's a flop, blah, blah, blah. None of that's true. The truth is, you put him on the Cavs right now, and they win 5 to 10 more games.
But, Sam, and this is where I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, you win 5 or more games like that in the regular season, but when the game's on the line in the postseason, you can't play him in the last 2 minutes because he can't shoot from the outside, he can't make free throws, and he was afraid to dunk in the biggest game of the season. So for me, and four, what is it, $140 million left? You're trying to get out from an albatross contract that is Kevin Love. Why bring another one that will, you know, hamstring you to Cleveland for a guy that's not going to be a closer or a finisher when the playoff game is on the line? So for me, I want absolutely nothing to do with Ben Simmons' game.
I will tell you this. I will say that he's probably there is a lot of truth to what you're saying. I agree with that. I don't even think that they have any, for the next 5 years, any hope of getting to one of those games where they have a closer.
Wow.
I think that he would at least give him an opportunity to give the fans a regular season full of fun, which they're not having now and may not have. I mean, when you talk about the Cavs core four, you're talking about guys that you think, well, we hope that they're going to be playing winning basketball someday. We have no evidence of that. Now, obviously, if you got a guy like Simmons, you would have to put other people around him that can shoot. Now, that's a lot to ask. It's a big deal. But again, if Ben Simmons is available, I'd be willing to talk and listen. That doesn't mean I would go out and say, here, take Colin Sexton, the number three pick, and Kevin Love's contract to make it work. I wouldn't do that. I would think that you would have to, it would have to be a deal that makes sense. And frankly, I think there are a lot of other teams out there who Simmons makes sense for more. Already the Minnesota Timberwolves are one of those teams that are kind of, you're hearing whispers about them having some interest in, you know, if he could go there and play alongside Towns and Russell and Anthony Edwards, then all of a sudden, you know, that's...
Yeah, as the fourth option, Sam.
Yeah, but wait a minute,
as the fourth option, that's fine.
Sam, wait a minute.
That's right. Yeah.
Kobe Altman said, you can't be 5 years away. We're only 1 year behind Atlanta.
I saw Kenny's tweet about that, too. He said, so next year the Cavs will be in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? And you know what? That's a great thing to say because he has said that, and he keeps pushing that. We're 1 year behind the Hawks. We're 1 year behind the Hawks. Well, to me, it looks like you're about 7 years behind the Hawks. And, that, you know, hey, this offseason, to me, is going to determine whether or not Kobe Altman is the general manager by the new year. It really will.
Wow.
And you know, hey, look, I'm not saying anything. I don't think I'm saying anything that he wouldn't already know. I think that they have to take a next step, an exciting step. I mean, look at this, guys. The Final Four in the NBA, this is a great time to be good.
Right.
You know, because it's wide open. You have the Milwaukee Bucks, who haven't been to the finals since 1974. The Atlanta Hawks, who haven't been since 1961 when they were the St. Louis Hawks. The Clippers have never been. And the Suns haven't been since 1993. So this is a great time. If you're an NBA team, to kind of say, you know what, things are wide open. They're only going to stay this way for a little bit. So can we please stop stinking?
Sam Amico is our guest via the Wake 'em Way Hotline, talking Cavaliers, NBA draft lottery, and, of course, the draft coming up July 29th. All right, Sam, I'm leaning towards, if I had my choice at three, I'm leaning towards Jalen Green as the player I think would be the best fit for the Cavaliers, and I'm not ready to say this yet, Sam, but I'm leaning this way. I think Jalen Green could end up being the best player in this draft. Who do you like possibly there at number three for the Cavaliers?
I like both Green and Kumonga, his teammate in the G League, and I'll tell you why I like Kumonga is because he was just very good defensively and kind of can play that, even though he's not real big size wise, he can play bigger than he is. He kind of reminds me of Draymond Green in that he's a Swiss Army knife, but probably a better athlete coming out or entering the draft. You know, Green was drafted 35 for a reason. But I think Kumonga is one of those guys. I don't know that I would want to take him at three. I would probably trade down if I were going to take Kumonga, but I do like Green a lot. And I said that probably about February when I got a chance to watch some of these G League games. I thought, I think I actually like Jalen Green better than Cunningham. Now, I haven't, you know, my focus is on the NBA, so I don't get to watch a lot of these guys. But from what I saw, I was impressed with Green. And you know what, Kenny? You might as well. You might as well take him, because unless you can get Mobley, and I don't even know if I would take Mobley over Green. But you had Kevin Porter Jr., right? You lost him for nothing. So you can make this three-guard lineup work. But I think at some point, and here's where the difficulty lies, at some point you're going to have to tell Colin Sexton, who you went out of the way to make the face of your franchise, you may be better served coming off the bench. And instead of scoring 24 a game, scoring 17 a game. You know, and that's a difficult – Colin Sexton's a great guy. But that's a difficult conversation to have with a guy that you went out of your way the minute LeBron left to make the face of your franchise. And I just don't think you can do that. And, you know, but, I mean, if Jalen Green comes in, let's say you draft him and he's better, you either need to have that conversation or you need to start having conversations with other teams about a deal, because I think Jalen Green's better, and I like Colin Sexton. I think he's a nice player. But I think Jalen Green's already better.
Sam, Kenny and I both agree that the G League eventually will be the minor leagues for the NBA. But I don't think it's there yet. Can you compare these two players and the G League from what you've seen at the NCAA level?
I'm sorry, what was your question, JT?
Can you compare what you've seen in the G League to what we see at the NCAA level?
Yeah, the talent in the G League's better. The coaching is not. The coaching's not even close, you know, but, and that counts for something when you're preparing for players for the NBA. You know, the coaches in the G League are trying to prepare the players, you know, and run the system, say that can't charge or whatever they're going to be now. Their coaches are following the Cavs system and getting their players coached up, trying to get them, you know, whereas at Duke, you have Mike Krzyzewski, who is, It's just a different ballgame. Mm-hmm. So, talent-wise, obviously you're getting college all-stars in the G League. They're just not good enough to go to the NBA yet. Whereas at college, you know, you have 9 out of 10 guys aren't going to play professionally, or 8 out of 10 mm-hmm. guys, even at the highest level. So you're preparing yourself for the size and the speed of the NBA, but You're not getting the fundamentals that you would be at a Duke or a Carolina or, you know, somewhere like that. So I think that playing well against other G League guys counts for a lot, but you also have a lot to learn. So I think it's comparable, if not better.
I like the fact that Kuminga and Green were in the G League, got paid, got a taste of professional basketball, played with the professional three-point line, professional practices, even though maybe the coaching isn't, you know, as good as the, you know, the blue bloods in college basketball. And I just watched some highlights from Jalen Green, and he's only 19. Put a little weight on this kid, and I'm not ready to you know, because we always like to make comps, right, Sam? Who does his game compare to, okay? And I'm not quite ready to go there with a Hall of Fame player we just lost recently in a horrible helicopter crash, but there's some athleticism that I see in Jalen Green that I haven't seen in quite some time from a shooting guard like that. You know, that leads me to believe, like I said, if the Cavs can get him at 3, they may end up with the best player in this draft, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, regardless. I think Jalen Green has that potential, and I agree with you. I think he's better than Colin Sexton right now.
Yeah, Kenny, there's some scouts who that I've talked to that obviously follow this stuff closer, and they have said that very similar to what you're saying is that Jalen Green is at very worst, he has NBA athleticism already, which should make him an automatic point producer. He may have to learn the other parts of the game, you know, while he's growing. But the overwhelming theory is that he's going to be able to put up points right away, and you know, he's got size. He's got, in terms of, he's bigger than Sexton. He's got length, and he's got an ability to defend pretty well too. So it'll be real interesting to see if that's the direction they go, and if they do, what do they do with Sexton?
Yeah, I think he's a great trade chip right now, to be honest with you, Sam. Did you read in it, and we're talking with Sam Amico, for those of you just joining us right now, outstanding basketball writer, senior writer, HoopsWire.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Amico Hoops. Did you read into this the same way I did? I listened to Kobe Altman's Q&A last night, and somebody asked him about Kevin Love making the Olympic team or playing for Team USA, and he said how great it was, yada, yada, yada. But then he quickly pivoted to, hey, Darius Garland, we're excited, too, about Darius Garland making the USA select team that will practice against Team USA and play in these games and that. Did you read into it like I did, that that makes Darius Garland the most important player on this Cavaliers team ahead of Colin Sexton or Isaac Okoro?
I don't know if that's what he meant, but I would agree with it if he did. I think we've seen a number of times this past season when either Sexton was out or Garland was the number one option, even when Sexton was there, that things just ran a little bit better. And maybe they know that. Maybe the Cavs are aware of that, and they're kind of pushing that narrative. You know, it's funny because the fans all get all up in arms if you kind of mention that, and they think you're saying Sexton's not any good or Sexton's, you know. But it's not about that. You can love both players. It's just if you're the Cavs, you need to figure out probably if they can work together long term, you know, and the more it goes on, the more you have your doubts, even though they're both fine individual players. Garland to me just looks like a guy, and I know there are others around the league who have agreed with me, whose opinions I greatly respect, who's Darius Garland's a guy who would be better suited playing next to a quote unquote traditional shooting guard with some size, maybe a little bit more of a knockdown outside shot than Sexton has, and is less ball dominant. You know, there have been opposing all-stars who have told me if you put the ball in Darius Garland's hands and make it clear that he's your floor general, you'd probably be better off in the long run. So. Well, I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. Yeah. You know, this is a huge off season for what they're trying to do.
Absolutely.
You don't stay general manager for very long if you're playing in the lottery four or five straight years, and they're on year number three now. So I think that Kobe Altman will feel some urgency and some heat from up top to try to get this team to a place where it's watchable and entertaining and fun and winning.
Yeah, yeah. 5 years from now, Sam Amico, like you said. Hey, I've got one last question for you, because I really wanted to ask you what your thoughts on Kevin Love playing in the Olympics were, but instead of that, I'm going to ask it this way. What's got a higher percentage of happening? Team USA wins the gold, Kevin Love gets hurt playing in Team USA?
I think Team USA winning the gold is probably the better percentage, although it's close. It's close. And, you know, look, they're going to do everything they can to move Kevin Love, short of throwing in, you know, something super valuable. But I think that, you know, I just think if you roll out the ball in October or late September for training camp, and Kevin Love is still on this roster, that was one of your failures as coach in this offseason. I think he doesn't want to be here. They don't want him here. And it's nothing personal. It's business. But you've got to find a way to move him. And you've got to find a way to – there are teams out there, believe it or not, who still would love to have him. Not necessarily as a – you know, kind of as a Blake Griffin role with the Nets this past year.
Hey, I guarantee you Philadelphia wish they had him.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. You know, Philly wishes they did. You can't make him a top three. You know, you're looking at him, if he's healthy, as your fourth guy anymore. So other teams are considering that, but they would love him. You know, I mean, he could help somebody who's, if he can stay on the floor, which is always a huge if he can, he could help a contender, and there's no question about that. But it's just a matter of finding a contender that can come up with the money to match.
Sam, always insightful, always entertaining as well. We appreciate the time. Keep up the great work that you do there at HoopsWire.com. And everybody go follow Sam Amico on Twitter, at Amico Hoops. And we'll talk again soon, maybe before the draft. All right, Sam?
All right, guys. Sounds good. And keep your heads up, Cavs fan. There'll be another 3 or 4 years. They'll get there.
Oh, jeez. Great. There he is.
He last time he said 5 years. I think he said 7 years. I'll take 3 or 4.
We're moving in the right direction. Back with more of the Kenny and JT Show right after this.